It's time for the Fin Addicts Miami Dolphins podcast on the Fin Addicts Network.
Hello and welcome to the Fin Addicts Miami Dolphins podcast, brought to you in part by Manscaped and hosted by me, the legendary Savak, and my co-host from No Coast, the man, the myth, the mustache, Mr. Brian Byrne. How you doing today, Brian?
I am doing really good, Savak, and I am ill-prepared because I'm supposed to be showing you a really cool giveaway we have. So let me do that now.
Please feel free to take your time.
As I'm more prepared now. So check this guy out. This week we are doing a really cool FanDuel contest with an amazing prize. $55 to enter. As you see on the screen, everything you need to know about who to pay is right there. It's the Fin Addicts Network contest. Entry fee $55. The first prize is $100 plus a Jason Taylor autographed helmet. It's a full-sized replica helmet. Autograph can be customized. So after you win, he will sign it. At that time, you could say, this is for my son, John Brady, Bo, what, I don't know.
Just make it out to eBay. Thanks, Jason.
You could have it customized to whatever you want. And how that works is FanDuel has, you know, a game between what you pick on a budget, all the 1 and 4 o'clock games you put together on a salary cap, your team, the winner of the 20 players will get that. The second place prize will be the $55 back. If you have any questions, email info@finaddictsnetwork.com. or just shoot us a DM on Twitter at @fin_addicts. These helmets sell for like $650. So you'd be crazy not to enter. And with only 20 people in, it's a great chance to win. You have 1 in 20 shot to win. Unbelievable fun time. So please jump in on that.
Yeah, and absolutely. At your own pace, Brian, at your own pace. And of course, that brings us to our very special guest, a returning guest, friend of the show, that we are absolutely delighted to have back, of Five Reason Sports, Kylie Ray Wang. How you doing, Kylie?
I'm great. Thanks, guys. How are you?
We are fantastic. I'm fantastic anyways. I can't speak for Brian or the power stash, but I'm doing pretty good. But
the power stash speaks for itself.
I agree. But what are you working on these days? What's keeping you busy?
We actually just hit a milestone in the show that I do. We just hit our 30th episode, which is 10 weeks worth of work because we air 3 times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays with my co-host, Tamara Brown. It's called Playing Catch Up, and I catch up on everything that you missed in South Florida sports on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, like I said. And we cover literally basically every major team from the Hurricanes to Inter Miami and everything in between. And then as well, you know, I do some writing for them and other stuff, but all that is at Five Reasons, and you can find it all on my Twitter at Kylie R. Wang and on YouTube.
Wicked. Like to hear that. And so of course, when we got to talk about the Dolphins now, I'm assuming you caught that Rams game. What were your thoughts of that performance and Tua's debut?
Well, I was actually at the game. It was the first game I had been to with my dad, just my dad and I, in a very long time. My dad is a season ticket holder. He usually gives them away to his clients, but kind of snagged these two for this game. It was fantastic. I think it was the most exciting game of the season. Maybe I'm biased because I was there. I know my co-host on my show had said the 49ers game was her favorite and the most exciting, but I disagreed. I said it was this one. Obviously, I think, you know, I was hoping to see a little bit more of Tua, but then again, there's a long season left. Liked what I saw from him. Obviously a couple of rookie mistakes, but like I said, I mean, he is a rookie. Overall, just a conservative offense in that second half, which makes sense considering the 18-point lead. So
Couldn't agree more. And actually, I do agree with your bias of being at the game, because personally, I thought the Jaguars game was the most exciting because I was at that one.
But that was a good one, too.
I thought so. Which, of course, takes us into this upcoming week. So our Dolphins now travel out to the desert to face off with the up-and-coming Arizona Cardinals team that's cruising out of their bye on a 5-2 record. And going into the bye, they had just come off a rather dramatic overtime victory over the Seahawks. And I mean, seriously, that one could have gone either way and ended up being decided by Russell Wilson's third interception of the night. I actually stayed up specifically to catch that. I hadn't even watched the beginning of the game, but this team is pretty good. Cliff and Kyler's working. Vance Joseph, for the most part, is working. And Miami's really going to have to bring it to win this one. Of course, takes us in. Go ahead, Brian.
I have to interrupt you, Savak. Before we move on to the Arizona game, we asked all of our Twitter followers to send in their reaction to their first Tua touchdown. So before we move into the Arizona game, let's just take a quick look at this beautiful masterpiece video that Savak put together, which is Dolphin fans reacting to Tua's first ever touchdown as a Miami Dolphin. As we all know, it went to Devontae Parker. That will be a trivia question when he hits the Hall of Fame, because obviously he will. So
when which one hits the Hall of Fame?
Tua. Okay. Obviously. So
no
before
faith in
DVP. before we get to Arizona, let's just take a quick look at the hard work that Savak put in. And thank you very much to all the listeners for sending in their videos. So here we go.
City rising, a little early, it's a bit surprising. Business moves, now we enterprising. Switch it up, now we improvising. Go to get in the winter column. Whole squad been trained to go. Been for life, we throw the fuck. Singing this just to watch the bro.
Yes.
Two a time.
Parker.
Time to grind, time to shine.
I swear to God,
switch it up, now we improvise. Go to get in the winter column. Whole squad been trained to go. Fence for life, we throw the foe. Singing this just to walk and bro.
So I'm sorry to interrupt you, Savak, but that was obviously worth it.
No, it's fine. We interrupt the following for this, you know.
I love that little outro, Savak.
Thank you. I thought it was pretty cool. My favorite person, though, in that video had to be that third fan there. That guy was amazing. Yes, Parker. That dude, he just, his energy, man. I love that. Need more of that in my life. So I guess now we will move on to this coming week. Breaking news. The Miami Dolphins traded Isaiah Ford to the Patriots of all teams for a conditional sixth round pick. I wasn't sure if that was a sixth or a seventh. That means we actually netted more value. Fantastic. Well done, Chris Greer. You know, pats on the back all around in the front office. But the pick is in 2022. They also acquired DeAndre Washington, a running back from the Chiefs, and a seventh round pick in exchange for a 2021 sixth round pick. Now, of course, DeAndre Washington is not eligible to play this week as he has to work through the COVID protocols. So he should be available next week. I guess I will start with you, Kylie. Your thoughts on the trades?
Well, I thought the whole reason I think that they took DeAndre Washington from the Chiefs is probably because Gaskin is going to be out for the next three games at least. And I did a little bit of research on him, nothing too, you know, in depth, but I know he had a great college career. So I'm looking forward to see what he can put up on the field, assuming he gets a shot, which I think he will. I know that they've also, Breida's had some injuries, so he's probably not going to play on Sunday. So we'll probably see a lot of Jordan Howard, which will be interesting. But as far as Isaiah Ford, I was surprised to see them do, it was a pretty rare thing to have a Dolphins-Patriots trade. You know, those teams, I don't think they do a lot of business with each other. So I was interested to see that.
I agree. I thought it was kind of odd. The way I took it was maybe Brian Flores doing Coach Belichick a solid. Well, Flores and Greer, both of them having some Patriot ties, I figured maybe they just say, hey, you know, toss him a little bone, which is an interesting thing to say given these two teams and their dynamics and how it's been over the last two decades. But then I actually put on my tinfoil hat for a moment and thought, well, what if we are trying to set them up so that they don't find themselves with an early draft pick able to get their hands on one of these young signal callers coming out? But, you know, that's for another time. Brian, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I like the trade. It, you know, as we've been talking about on the show, Antonio Callaway's now going to be available this week. You know, we have a couple guys on with Lynn Bowden Jr. and Malcolm Perry who have been coming on. And Isaiah Ford is a nice player. He's kind of like a little bit of O.J. McDuffie. You know, they look for him on third down, but he's very capped. He's not the fastest guy in the field. Doesn't really – you kind of got to scheme him open. You pretty much only see him on third down. The lazy take from everybody out of New England is, oh, we just traded Wes Welker again. The news is Tom Brady no longer plays in New England, so I'm not really scared of Isaiah Ford becoming the next Wes Welker. But it's a crowded receiver room. You know, we're making room for Callaway. We're making Perry was active for the first time last week. I'm sorry, and Lynn Bowden Jr. I believe he was not dressed last week because he just had a baby. So it might have had something to do with it, but he's been coming on. So it was just time to move on. And, you know, we turned a seventh into a sixth. It's not into 2022. Not really a big needle mover. DeAndre Washington, I don't know. His best season as a pro was in 2016. He had 467 yards rushing, added that with 17 receptions for 115 yards. Where's his touchdowns? I'm trying to look at his touchdowns. I can't find it for whatever reason.
Some technical difficulties over there.
He has one total touchdown in his career. So he's more just a third down back, just a little bit of depth to that injured running back room, which is, you know, it's pretty rough right now with Laird, Gaskin, and Breida all down. So it made sense. It only cost us a 6th-round pick, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it was pretty rough sledding out there, as it were, anyway. So hopefully we'll get a little bit more life out of that game, especially Myles Gaskin being added to IR, expected to be out for 3 weeks. Which I guess we can use to segue very casually into our injury report. You got that available for us?
I sure do, without technical difficulty this time. Woo! So here is the injury report as of Thursday for the Miami Dolphins at Arizona Cardinals, week 9. It's not a short list, as you guys can see. Matt Breida did not participate for the second day in a row with a hamstring injury. I'm going to skip over the guys that are practicing in full. Patrick Laird did return in full today. Jamal Perry, who missed last week, is still limited. I just got to say something about Elandon Roberts. He's in there for an elbow. Did you guys see why Elandon Roberts is on this injury list? He hit two guys so hard in the Rams game last week. He blew it up in the backfield, and he hit him so hard that he injured himself. But he's practicing in full. And as was mentioned, we put Miles Gaskin on the injured reserve. It looks like he's going to be out 3 weeks.
I saw Landon Roberts today on the press conference, and he's one funny guy. He was kind of giving Omar Kelly, I don't want to say it for, but he was giving Omar Kelly a little bit. He was teasing him a little bit. He was a funny guy. He's also very well spoken.
Yeah.
That is the content I'm paying for right there. Love that.
If you missed it, you can check out fanaticsnetwork.com. We have the transcripts of the press conference. I was trying to listen to it today, but I was stuck in my car, so I couldn't really pay attention. So I have to take her words for it.
That's because you are a very safe and dependable defensive driver, right?
Exactly.
Does your license say safe driver on it?
It says, Brian, you are very lucky to be able to have a license. Most of my adult life, I had not had a license. We won't get into that, though. But
that's for another episode. We'll get back to that.
Exactly. We only have Wednesday's Arizona's injury status because they're on the West Coast and it comes out a little bit late. But Buda Baker is practicing in full. Kenyon Drake is not expected to play with that ankle. Larry Fitzgerald is limited. I think he's just always limited. DeAndre Hopkins did not participate, not injury related. So don't get your hopes up there. Drake Kirkpatrick did not participate, nor did Jordan Phillips. I think if Adam Gase was still the coach of the Miami Dolphins, nothing would stop Jordan Phillips from getting at this game.
Or but Kenyon we'll Drake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or we'll see how that happens. And then Zeke Turner is limited with a toe.
So a fair amount of injuries going around. But it is very interesting. So Arizona, as I was saying, there's a pretty good team. Now, this offense under Cliff Kingsbury with Kyler Murray installed as the quarterback going into their second season, and they look really good. Eighth in points scored, 28 points per game. First in yards, of course, going against Miami's fairly vaunted defense, which is first in points allowed. So we're doing pretty damn good ourselves. This is going to be a very interesting matchup. But, I mean, does anybody else know anything about this offense? Brian, do you?
They're dynamic. I'm sorry, I was looking for the Manscaped ad for later, but yeah, they're quite a dynamic offense. It's without Kenyon Drake, it definitely makes them a little bit more one-dimensional, but those wide receivers are solid. You got Larry Fitzgerald coming out of the slot. He's definitely going to the Hall of Fame. DeAndre Hopkins may be the best wide receiver in all of football. Christian Kirk, there we go, is coming on as of late. He's second-year wide receiver. He's very impressive. Their O-line is improving. And then, of course, Kyler Murray is just dynamic. Spark plug is the name that just jumps to mind. You know, he's just – the key is going to be trying to keep this guy contained, and it's a lot easier said than done. You know, He throws on the move very well, just having a solid year. So keeping him in the pocket and not letting him kill us, going to be key. We have not done well against running quarterbacks. Cam Newton killed us. Russell Wilson killed us. Josh Allen killed us. You notice the quarterbacks that we have beat, Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo, Gardner Minshew.
Joe Flacco.
These are not guys that extend plays, you know? So Kyler Murray is that guy. But a lot of those losses took place without Byron Maxwell. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see how Byron Maxwell.
It's been a few years since that one, man.
my buddy at the Finsider will love that. Jake Mendel over at the Finsider, he constantly makes that same mistake. So
that's funny.
But yeah, we have a great secondary. Our defensive line is coming in really, really good. So we'll have to see. It's going to be a very interesting matchup. You know, both this offense and their defense were both neck and neck with Arizona. So. The one good
Go ahead.
I was just going to say the one good thing is we're traveling to Arizona. It's a 4 o'clock game, but we kind of take away home field advantage. They only, I think they're allowing like 15, 16,000 fans in the crowd. So it's not a huge home field advantage. So,
and they play indoors, right?
I believe they do. Yes.
Pretty sure. So yeah, the teams, two teams match up very evenly when, at least on paper anyways. Kylie, what do you think about this upcoming matchup? How do you think we're going to be able to keep pace with them?
Like I said, I mean, like we all saw last week, the Rams game, I mean, that was an incredible defensive performance. If we can hold Kyler Murray to under 20 points, then it all depends on Tua at the end of the day. We'll see how well he performs. Obviously, I think he settled a lot more into his role in that second half of the last game. Obviously, you know, jitters, your first NFL start, that's going to be a big one. I think he'll be a lot more settled, a lot more calm this game. You know, he obviously in that first half of the game, you could see he was a little jittery. I think he'll be mature with every game at a pretty quick rate. That's what I've also heard from, you know, his offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coaches and stuff like that. I'm excited to see what he can happen, what he can make happen. And I'm excited to see if he can really air it out, because we didn't really get to see him air it out too much in that last game. So if Tua lives up to expectations, I think this could actually be a really good win. Now, what does give me pause is the fact that they did beat the Seahawks in a game where Russell Wilson wasn't at his best. But I have to ask myself, is the reason that Russell Wilson wasn't at his best in that game because he was dealing with something personally, or because their secondary was just that good because he threw three interceptions? And if that's the case, the Dolphins secondary is also very good. Maybe we can take advantage of Kyler Murray. But like you said, his legs worry me. He's very dynamic. Hopefully Tua, that's the kind of a player that I would like to see Tua develop into.
I think that's what we're all kind of looking at there. But you did bring up a very interesting point, though. Arizona's defense, run by a defensive coordinator we're actually fairly familiar with in Vance Joseph. Now, what we're seeing in Arizona is what we did not get the opportunity to see in Miami, is a defense under his leadership going into its second year. And they seem to be taking those strides that I was hoping to see out of Miami's defense. But we do come in there. Miami's offense ranked 11th in points scored per game with 26.9. Of course, their defense is ranked 9th in points per game allowed with 20. So it should be a very fair, even matchup. I am interested to see who they're going to try and key in on, or their defense is going to try and key in on our offense, because well, we've got some holes.
Yeah, I would expect them to put a lot of pressure on Tua, and the offensive line is a lot better. It's probably the best I've seen it maybe since I've been alive. However, it's not elite. I think they're definitely getting there. I really like Ted Karras. I like his leadership at center. Center, I think, is the most important, one of the most important positions on offense outside of quarterback. However, they're not amazing yet. They're making strides. They're getting better with every game. But if they put a lot of pressure on Tua, I'm a little worried he's going to fall back, make some rookie mistakes. But we'll see how it goes.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, the one thing that's not on the injury report, because he is on the injured reserve, is Austin Jackson did return to practice today. He is practicing in full. He is on pace to be activated from the injured reserve, which brings up a very interesting question. Where is he going to go? Is he going to take over for left tackle with Jesse Davis, or back to his normal position? Will Jesse Davis go back and take over for Robert Hunt? Or, you know, will they give him another week to play? The other really huge thing about this is, you know, they currently are both tied for 19 sacks on defense. That number is a bit skewed because Chandler Jones is no longer, he's on the injured reserve. So he is not causing the havoc that he was at the beginning of the season. So I'd love to see Austin Jackson come back. I'm honestly pulling for, Austin Jackson go to left tackle, keep Robert Hunt at right tackle. You know, if we're all in on getting to these reps and seeing what we have in the future, let's put him with the offensive line that he's going to be playing with for the next 10 years.
That's right. Go ahead, Kylie.
Yeah, I think that Chan Gailey was the one who had expressed a little bit of, I don't want to say confusion, but he just was uncertainty over Austin Jackson and whether or not he would even be in the lineup, considering how well they've been playing without him. Not to say that, you know, he isn't a good member of the offensive line, but if they're playing well, why fix something that isn't broken?
Oh, the irony of asking that question, because we said the same exact thing about Ryan Fitzpatrick. But I do see what you mean, absolutely. And I mean, sometimes you don't want to mess with that kind of chemistry. You know, if the offensive line is gelling as it is, well, you know what, Austin, hang back. You know, you might be needed in a little bit, but just let's see how this plays out first. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I think we almost, if he's healthy, I think we have to make that change, because that offensive line was missing something last weekend. We're not creating holes for the running backs, and Tua did not really have a lot of time to throw. He also could not, you could see it when watching the game tape, he could not step into a lot of his throws. So Jesse Davis is a nice player. He just isn't ever going to be a great player. So I'm all for, if Austin Jackson can play, let's get him in there. This is our future left tackle. Let's get him in there. Maybe if one of our guards is struggling, Jesse Davis can move over. But, you know, this is our offensive line for a while. And, you know, obviously this defense is not Aaron Donald. This defense is not the LA Rams. But there was some struggles last week at offensive line, and it prevented Tua from really getting going. So, you know, if he's healthy, I say let's get him in there. The other X factor I think we got to bring in, you talked about our old defensive coordinator, Vance Joseph, is the defensive coordinator at Arizona, and something he struggled with in Miami and he is struggling with in Arizona is discipline, which is something that we do not struggle with, but they are dead last in the NFL in penalties. So at 7.9 per game. So I think that's an area where we can really take advantage of. If we let Arizona shoot themselves in the foot, get to a, you know, and with, you know, manageable plays, get them a few first and fives, get them a few first downs on due to penalties. And I think that's going to be a serious advantage for this team, as our team is fourth in the NFL with penalties, with only 4.4 per game. So I think that could be a serious, serious leg up for this team.
I should really toss an asterisk onto what you said there. We don't struggle with penalties asterisk anymore.
Yeah.
Because we previously were. So kudos to our coaching staff for really whipping this crew into shape. I love what I'm seeing here. But I guess we need to take an opportunity to pay some bills here. Would you like to tell these lovely folks about MyBookie?
I would. So MyBookie.ag. Check this site out. It's an amazing gambling website. Can't get enough of it. If you're somebody like me, the degenerate gambler, absolutely love it. And if you use code FINSUP, you will get 50% sign up bonus up to $1,000 on your first deposit. Check this out. You cannot go wrong. The Fin Addicts are always there for you and always trying to give you some money. And with that, we have a really cool brand new one of, as our shows are always brought to you by Manscaped. Savak is tirelessly at work making great video edits, and here is the grand debut of his new Manscaped ads. Let's check that out.
You see, when you're a hairy mofo like me, you require special tools to meet your needs. And when I'm talking needs, I'm talking help, which extends to below the belt. And with the Manscaped Perfect Package, making between the knees breezy comes easy. With the Lawnmower 3.0's waterproof design, featuring advanced skin-safe technology and soft ceramic blades, you'll turn that jungle into a perfectly manscaped yard. Toss in the ball deodorant and toner, and you'll be feeling like Peter North down under in no time. Go to manscaped.com and use our promo code FINSUP FINSUP, and help us help you save balls today.
Yeah, I saw you hunched over in laughter there, Brian. That's
you
good.
You gotta love it. It's Suboxone genius when it comes to making these commercials. But definitely go to manscaped.com. Use code FINSUP. Get 20% off. Get free shipping. You know, I feel weird getting too deep into it as we have a lady on the show today. But
God, I wish my co-hosts at Five Reasons felt the same way, because they're also sponsored by Manscaped. And let me tell you, they have no problem talking about the balls.
Oh, I
Manscaped.com has changed my life. I used the spritzer today. I usually just use the deodorant, but the spritzer is pretty cool, I have to say.
Yeah.
So check it out. The Weed Whacker is great too for us older gentlemen who have ear and nose hair issues. So get on manscaped.com. I have not met a dissatisfied Manscaped customer. I don't know about you guys.
No, I haven't either. And I'm telling you, got to get on there, get the Perfect Package 3.0. In addition to the Lawnmower 3.0, the ball deodorant, the ball toner, the awesome carrying case, genuine leather, my friends. Like, they must have skinned that right off the alligator, I'm telling you. That thing is awesome. You also get this free t-shirt. Oh, there it is. And a pair of their performance briefs. Trust me, you're going to want to get on there. Manscaped.com, promo code FINSUP, save your 20%, get your free shipping. And I don't know, tell somebody we sent you. Tell somebody else. Tell your friend, mom, dad, I don't know, whoever.
Maybe not your mom.
Yeah, maybe not.
I feel like the mom could use it.
Your girlfriend.
They go for it for Manscaped, but I feel like the girls could use it as well.
A true story, actually. Remember, my wife is a big fan of those performance briefs and has maybe dabbled in the usage of such trimmers, but you know, it's neither here nor there. But please, Brian, tell these folks about Patch Vibes.
If you're just listening to the podcast and you cannot see the shirt I'm wearing, it is freaking amazing. Patchvibes.com. It is a great picture of Marino, Duper, and Clayton. Not only do they have this t-shirt, they have an amazing t-shirt of Fitzpatrick and Tua, kind of a passing of the torch. They also have the Shula patch that is being worn on the Miami Dolphins jerseys this season. Use code FINSUP, get 20% off. They're not even paying us. We just really like these guys. They're just getting their start down in Florida. Great company. Check out patchvibes.com. You will not be upset about that.
No, you will not. Which, of course, takes us into our key matchups for this game. And chief among them, I'm going to go ahead and list these guys. Cliff Kingsbury and his offensive staff against Brian Flores and Josh Boyer. Brian, what are we looking at here?
Yeah, I gotta give the advantage to Brian Flores. He went against Sean McVay, who was an offensive guru, brought the Rams to the Super Bowl, always has the Rams among the best in the NFL. We even didn't do too bad against Russell Wilson, despite Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing a few interceptions. I gotta give the advantage to Flores and Boyer. And yes, they have great wide receivers, but with the loss of Drake, they are going to be a bit one-dimensional. And our defense is just playing lights out right now. Emmanuel Ogba has really come on. These guys have, you know, we didn't see it at the beginning of the season. It took a little time to get used to and get gelling, but Shaq Lawson, Ogba, Van Noy, they're playing amazing. And then when you have two all-pro corners in Xavien Howard and not Byron Maxwell, but Byron Jones on the corner. Bobby McCain has stepped up, which I owe another apology to you because he was struggling at the beginning of the year. He's played great. Eric Rowe has just been dominating. He had 5 pass breakups last week alone and the interception, just missed another pick 6. I really like this. I like this matchup with the blitzing. Kyler Murray, young quarterback, he could easily
turn this game right over to our defense. I got to give the advantage to Brian Flores and Josh Boyer. They've been proving it all season long that they're ready for whatever you're going to throw for them. Obviously, Kyler Murray is going to be a wild card. He's hard to contain, but I'm gonna tip my homer hat to Brian Flores and see what happens.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. In all fairness, though, Brian Flores had experience facing Sean McVay and Jared Goff, so it's a little tough for me to call to give him that contest completely. These guys are going to be a little different. Cliff Kingsbury with his air raid inspired offense, and of course the quarterback who's very acclimated to it. This should be a very interesting test for Brian Flores and Josh Boyer. I'm interested in seeing this. And you mentioned something, though. You mentioned the secondary, which I will toss that to you, Kylie. How do you think, or more specifically, who do you think they will match up against DeAndre Hopkins in an attempt to slow him down?
I think it's obviously going to either be Byron Jones or Xavier Howard. Honestly, I think it'll depend on what else is going on there, but I recall seeing a clip from the Seahawks game. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but it was a close-up of Kyler Murray, and he looks over and he's looking for a receiver. He sees DeAndre Hopkins is in man-to-man, and he starts to laugh. Yeah, and that struck fear into my heart. I was like, oh, no. So, but luckily if anyone can negate DeAndre Hopkins or at least minimize him, it's going to be Byron Jones or Xavier Howard. So I would expect to see one of the two of them over there.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Byron Jones. He thrives in this. We saw in week two, Byron Jones was going to get the matchup against Diggs. He tends to be the guy that gets the number one wide receiver. I mean, and he shuts him down over and over again. I mean, last year, I think he held Michael Thomas to like two catches and like 18 yards. I feel like he'll get that matchup, maybe give him a little help from McCain, and then hope that Xavier Howard really takes advantage why can't I remember his name? What's the second wide receiver's name again?
Larry Fitzgerald or Christian Kirk?
Christian Kirk. There we go. I feel like Howard will get Kirk, try to take advantage of that. But, you know, Howard's game is kind of he baits you a little bit. He lays back and then he has that breakaway speed where when the ball's coming, he can jump up and make that interception. I don't know if that will be effective against Hopkins. So I see Byron Jones getting one-on-one with Hopkins, and I have faith that he can – I don't think you're shutting Hopkins down, but I have faith that he can do a really good job against DeAndre Hopkins.
Go ahead, Kylie.
Well, I don't want us to forget too much about Larry Fitzgerald either. I know that, you know, he's getting real up there now. He's been getting up there for a while, and now he's getting real up there. But he's still obviously a threat, and I remember having him in fantasy last year, the year before, and people laughed at me for drafting him. And he ended up being like probably my most solid player, bringing in double-digit points every week. So you know what? It's going to be interesting to see how they can handle all three of those receivers. But I'm really proud of this Dolphins secondary. And you mentioned Eric Rowe, who had a great game last week. Eric Rowe, I mean, people have lambasted him on Twitter before, saying that he sucks and he's no good. And he's been with this team for a couple of years now, I think. And you know what? Eric Rowe's always been my guy. So I'm so proud of him. I've always been like, you guys are too mean to Eric Rowe. We see some really good things from him, and people are just tend to forget them unless he's doing something absolutely amazing. But if you're not looking at a passes broken up stat line, you're not going to see how great of a game he had last week. So I'm excited. I think if anyone can negate these receivers, and these are some scary receivers, it's going to be this Dolphins secondary.
Go on, Brian.
Yeah, I think we're going to see Eric Rowe on Larry Fitzgerald. I wouldn't be shocked because I'll give anybody a dollar if they can tell me who the tight end is in Arizona. Anyone? Daryl Daniels. Yeah. So they mainly throw out four. So not really too scared of Daryl Daniels. Probably see Eric Rowe just really fit in. You know, Larry Fitzgerald has lost a step, but plays that kind of that tight end body where he uses his bigger body. I see Eric Rowe getting in there and, you know, causing problems for them across the board. I see us being able, especially with the lack of Kenyon Drake out of the backfield, I see us be able to do exactly what we did against LA. You know, they had this Josh Reynolds, Cooper Kupp, and Robert Woods look a lot like this wide receiver core. So I see us be able to go man up, throw a lot of blitzes, cause Kyler Murray some problems. Hopefully we can pull a Sam Darnold on him and make him see ghosts.
Oh, go ahead, Kylie.
Just one quick thing is that Eric Rowe specifically, I think, is really good against tight ends. So that's a great thing that you mentioned. And I think that you're correct about Larry Fitzgerald in that matchup.
I dig that. And of course, we were talking, you alluded to Arizona's run game. Kenyon Drake is not playing, but they do have Chase Edmonds, who has produced for them in the past. Kylie, how do you see him stacking up against Miami's defensive front? Do you think that he's going to be able to get their run game established?
I think as far as the Dolphins defense goes, I think obviously the secondary has been a bit more impressive than the defensive line, but that's not to knock the defensive line. I think that they'll get some good yardage out of him, but I wouldn't expect to see him do any breakaway runs. I think our linebackers are also very, very good. We talk a lot about the secondary and that does partially include the linebackers, but I mean, everyone from Van Noy to Van Ginkle are all playing fantastic, and all these old Patriots defensive guys. So I think that, you know, they'll make some good on short yardage situations, but I don't think he's going to have a breakout run for, you know, 70 yards or even 30, 40 yards.
I agree. I like what you said there, though, because our linebacking core has kind of been an issue in recent years, and that is not the case this season. What were you going to say, Brian?
Yeah, you can't sleep on Chase Edmonds as much as they're going to miss Kenyon Drake. He averages 6.1 yards per carry. Granted, he's only had 29 attempts, but nothing to shake a stick at. 6.1 per carry is pretty good. But, you know, Kyler Murray's our second leading rusher at 437. So it's going to open – having to spy on Kyler Murray is going to open something up for Chase Edmonds. So we just got to definitely – the key, I think, is definitely going to be getting up early – not let Chase Edmonds and Kyler Murray run and destroy this game for us. But, you know, I Chase Edmonds isn't anyone to sleep at. We saw last year, he had a game that I think he hit up almost 200 yards. So we can't forget about him completely.
But I think you nailed it there. The key is going to be getting up early, which means we are going to have a better offensive showing than we did against LA. We got to get this run game going, which of course is a bit of a tall task now with both our starter and our backup not playing. So the real question is, who do we see leading this rushing attack in Miami? What do you think, Kylie?
I think Jordan Howard's probably going to get a lot of carries. I know we have, you know, Salon Ahmed and a couple other guys, and obviously DeAndre Washington won't be playing, but eventually he'll probably potentially get some reps. But with Gaskin out, I think, and Breida out as well, I think a lot of it is going to fall on Jordan Howard. He's the most experienced, and he's especially good in short yardage situations. So if it comes down to a third and one, or third and goal, that's going to be a Jordan Howard carry for sure, I think.
I agree with that wholeheartedly, and it is interesting because we haven't seen him. He hasn't suited up in a couple games. Brian, do you agree?
Yeah, I really, you know, please, Jordan Howard, show us why we paid you $10 million, you know. We need him to step up this game. We're not positive about Breida. I hope somehow the hamstring can get loose and he can get out there. Otherwise, we're going to see Salvin Ahmed, who is basically Miles Gaskin light, went to the same college, put up a lot of the same stats. Besides that, you're going to see probably some trickeration. We have Lynn Bowden Jr., who is really a wide receiver, but was drafted out of Oakland to play running back, and he runs the Wildcat. Malcolm Perry can play. I mean, he could serve you a beer. He can play quarterback. He can do the Wildcat. He can play running back, wide receiver. So we'll see what he does. But hopefully Jordan Howard, we can get this running game established. We can start fixing this. Their defense, outside of Buda Baker, there's nothing on this defense that's really scary. So hopefully Jordan Howard could give Tua some time, make them fear the play action, beat up the middle of that line so guys like Williams and Gesicki and Parker could get free later on in the game.
Very good. Kylie, you had something to add?
I want to see Patrick Laird. I really like Patrick Laird. I'm really excited about seeing him.
You are
That's
not
all I wanted
only,
to say.
You are not the only one to say that. Actually, I saw somebody suggest that on Twitter, and I had to go ahead and comment on that. And yes, cut the intern loose. Let's
the
see
intern.
If he can do something out there. I love that.
I'm a big Patrick Laird stan.
Yeah, me too. I can understand for sure. I love a great underdog story. Which actually is so funny. You have listed on here Buda Baker and Patrick. Is that Patrick Peterson versus Parker, Gesicki, and Williams? It's kind of funny because there's only two defenders listed there versus these three offensive players. So right there, somebody is going to get open in this game for Miami's offense, which of course beckons the question, because I think the key here with our run game kind of being at a disadvantage, we got to take the training wheels off the passing game, man. And we need more production out of Tua. I don't mean to put more pressure on him, but I mean, we need more production out of him. We can't have a repeat of last week because we can't count on special teams and defense keeping us in games like this, especially against a team like Arizona, who is built to favor their offense. I did notice some things while rewatching the film with LA, and I had some concerns over the way Chan Gailey was scheming. Did you guys know that in the 100 years he's been coaching football, this is the first time he's ever coached a left-handed quarterback? Now, a lot of people scoffed at me when I rose these concerns. I got a lot of eye rolls, but then we witnessed some of it. And if you rewatch the tape, there was a particular play I'd like to highlight from the Rams game. Early on in the game, it was a 3rd and 10, and they set up what's essentially, you know, a wide receiver screen, had two receivers on the right side of the field. People watching on YouTube are actually going to get to see this. One of those receivers was Parker, and immediately he was the hot route. That was where it was going. Play got snapped. He threw it out there. It was a little too far out in front of Parker, but if you watch, Parker ran over there and then jumped to the left as if he was expecting the ball to be there. And if he were getting that pass from a right-handed quarterback, it would have been there. So these are the kind of things I was hoping they would work on over the bye week. So it was a little troubling to see us coming out of a bye week and not have that kind of tightened up a little bit. So I hope Chan Gailey sees that and approaches this game plan with that in mind. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I got to commend you on that call. That was brilliant, because why would you make a quarterback throw against his body on a wide receiver screen? It didn't make any sense. So, you know, it's a learning process for the whole coaching staff, and, you know, hopefully they get some of those bugs worked out. And I mean, we're not going to score on defense, special teams, and offense this week. We're not going to have enough. You know, we say we only got one defensive touchdown, but we really got two. Kyle Van Noy brought the ball to the 1 yard line. So, you know, Tua's going to have to play, you know, it's, he's going to have to put more on his back. Hopefully he's ready. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking for a shootout between the shootout in the desert, the old, you know, at the old OK Corral, let these two young guns just sling it. It should be a really entertaining game. I'm shocked this has not been flexed into Sunday night, because this is going to be one hell of a game. I can't wait to see Tua versus Murray round two, the first time Tua dominated him at Oklahoma. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. And yeah, hopefully Gailey gets a little bit more used to playing calls for him. The other thing is, the great thing is Arizona has nothing on him. You know, they put the handcuffs on Tua very early because we were winning 28-7. They have absolutely zero tape on what we're going to do. Now that all of our running backs are injured, they have zero tape on our running backs. So they don't know what we're going to do in the running game. So, you know, it's definitely an advantage, and hopefully Chan Gailey can get creative and get out to the desert and take advantage.
Absolutely. What were you going to say, Kylie?
Yeah, just a quick note. I agree with everything you were saying, and I think it's definitely going to be an offensive game, a game that is going to be decided by the offense rather than the defense like it was last week. And I'm a little bit nervous for Tua. I did hear from a couple of receivers today that they had been spending anywhere from 5 to 30 minutes after practice with Tua practicing that timing and just trying to get things a little bit straight and a little bit better. And I'm excited to see the improvement. I think we're going to see improvement from week to week. I'm also hoping that our boy Preston Williams kind of overcomes his little case of the dropsies. Really thinking that you're going to do it. This is the week to do it, Preston. So we'll see.
Yes, ma'am. I am hoping the very same. But I'm glad you guys noticed that too. It's kind of crazy to me, but admittedly in the beginning of the season, Chan Gailey had even expressed that he had never worked with a left-handed passer before and he was going to have to do some mental gymnastics. Well, now's the time, Chan. You gotta shake off whatever cobwebs there were and get this thing figured out, because this is kind of a big deal. Even Jerry Rice himself had pointed out that passes do come out differently from left-handed passers. It's not a huge factor as long as you account for it. And we didn't last week. We need to do it this week. So with that, we'll go ahead and go into the predictions. Ryan, what are we expecting out of this game?
Again, I'm going to go homer. I don't know if you guys have seen it. You know, Tua has struggled a couple times in college. And I think one was the SEC. No, the year they played Clemson in the national title, he struggled in the playoff game. And it was the year they won the national championship and he struggled in the playoff game and he came back and just dominated. You know, like this guy doesn't look average 2 weeks in a row. He's a very competitive guy. I'm betting on Tua to come out slinging. I just love our defense a little bit more. The past few weeks we held San Francisco to 13, shut out the Jets, held LA to 17, but really that last touchdown was a garbage touchdown. The defense played 90 plays. I just feel like they're going to have the advantage. I feel like Miami's probably going to win in an exciting game. I'm going to go, 31-28. Jason Sanders, Mr. Perfect, takes us home, much like the game. I think it was the last game you attended before the Jacksonville game, Savak, when we won on a overtime field goal. So
coincidentally was also against Arizona.
There we go. So I'm going to go Dolphins 31, Cardinals 28, and this team's going to the playoffs.
Oh, I like that. You got some fire on there. Okay. What about you, Kylie?
I'm thinking it's going to be a little bit less high scoring. I could be wrong. I think this one is so hard to call because we just haven't seen anything of Tua yet in the pros. I'm going to go 23-21 Dolphins. I think the Cards will put up more touchdowns, but the Dolphins will get some field goals done. And I think that defense will work out well and give Tua more opportunities than Kyler's going to have.
I like that. Oddly enough, though, my answer was going to be eerily similar to Brian's. I'm thinking it's going to come down to Mr. Sanders himself. Money Sanders, 31-28. Miami's way. Because I do think, well, I am hoping anyways, that Chan Gailey works the kinks out and figures out how to scheme plays for our lefty quarterback. And we do see a little bit more out of him. And I hope it heats up pretty good because it is important to factor in. Arizona has not scored less than 21 points at any point this year. So in every game, the lowest that they've scored is 21 points. We got to factor that in. And I think they're going to put up some points. We just need to put up more.
So, one good thing to note on too is if we can get by this with a win, you got to look at our upcoming schedule. We got LA Chargers at home, which I think have one win. We travel to Denver. We got the Jets. We got the Bengals. If we can get out of Arizona, however we get out of Arizona, if we can get out of there with a win, we're really set up nice to go on a run. And, we really fingers crossed that Tua steps up. You know, there is a lot of talk on Twitter. Oh, did we make the right choice? Let's shut those people up for the love of God. It was one game. Let's get him out there. Let's get Parker involved. Let's get Gesicki involved. I'd love to see, you know, they have Peterson. So they're going to put him on Parker. let's get Grant going. Let's get Lynn Bowden going. Let's get our brand new wide receiver who is the king of the slant pass, Antonio Callaway, which we know Tua loves that slant. Let's get a couple 60-yard slants going to Callaway, that 4.3 speed. And I would love to see another blowout, but this could be the start of something. We win this game, and national media is going to be paying attention. And some of these games later on might get flexed into prime time.
No, you're absolutely right. If we go toe-to-toe, if our guy can beat a number one overall draft pick, that's compelling stuff, man. We love it. So with that, I will take us out. Unless, Kylie, you have anything else to toss in there?
Not so much. I think Brian did a good job. I am excited to see Callaway and see what he can bring to the table. I've been looking at him since, I think he was in the Hard Knocks episode for the Cleveland Browns, I think. Yep. And I was like, like, you know, so I'm hoping to see him.
It's actually kind of funny. Earlier this season, before he had joined the team, I had actually tweeted about it, and I'm like, hey, you know, tag the Miami Dolphins. It's like, he's right in your neighborhood. You might want to take a look. I know he's suspended, but if he can clear that up, that would be a great addition to the team. And then about like the next week or so, he was on the practice squad. So I'm not taking credit or anything, but you know, great timing. So make sure you subscribe to the Fanatics Miami Dolphins podcast, available where all podcasts are, at least assumedly. I don't know. I haven't checked everywhere, but Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. There's a bunch of other ones. You know, Brian knows. Ask him. We do what we do for all of you. So get on there and leave us a nice review. Now follow us, the Fanatics Network, on YouTube, youtube.com/Fanatics Network. And of course, follow us on Twitter at @Fin_Addicts. And don't forget the Chez La Resistance, the website, www.finaddictsnetwork.com. It is up and running. That is the place to be for Dolphin fans. We've got articles on there. We also have other shows, including Doug Lee Do Wrong from YouTube and the Welcome to Perfectville podcast. You can find out all the information about our contests and fantasy leagues. And I think there's some other stuff on there as well, Brian.
Yeah, we definitely have all the injury reports stay up on there. All the press conferences for the Miami Dolphins go up on there. You know, we have some from Perfect. Sam from Perfectville has some really cool content. He's got the strip sack, which is a little comic strip. And then he also has game predictions by a kid where his daughter predicts each week the result of the Miami Dolphins game. You could also do yourself a favor. Don't have to remember the first three lines that Savak said. Just go to fanaticsnetwork.com. It has all of our social links right there. You can get a hold of us. We also have other really helpful Miami Dolphin links. One of my favorite podcasts besides ours is the Finsider. They're on there. You can get a link to Armando Salguero's book. You can get to MiamiDolphins.com. You can every Miami Dolphins link you need is on there. Great website. Check it out. And yeah, with that, I think there's only one way to close this guy out. What do you guys say?
Oh, I agree. I'm with you. Fins up.
Fins up, baby.
Yeah.
Let's see you guys on a victory Sunday.
I'm looking forward to it.
Have a good one.